This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz.
Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Bing Y World Class Market, Brennan Smoke Shop, Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Waverly Zero Turn Lawnmower, Foxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, welcome to the Baseball Reporters. Red Sox are in progress against the Oakland A's at the moment. Finale of a four-game series, trying to salvage a split of the four games out there in Oakland. Currently, they trail 7-3, and I want to start with last night's game primarily. But before I even get to that, let me begin with this. Okay? Let me begin with this. If I were a starting pitcher on the Red Sox, if I were starting and I'm out there on the mound, and I see Hector Velasquez get up in the bullpen, boy, is that a bad sign. You know what I would do? I would grab the rosin bag, bite it as if it were a cyanide caplet, and swallow the thing whole. It's time to go when you see Hector Velasquez warming in the bullpen, which is precisely what happened to Eduardo Rodriguez today on the mound in Oakland. I got to fill you in on this if you don't know what has happened, because it was an enormously frustrating day out there for the Red Sox. They get three runs in the first inning against Brett Anderson. They have him on the ropes.
Well, it was two, and then they added one on a solo shot.
Oh.
Thanks to J.D. Martinez.
Oh, that was in the second inning, right? So they get two in the first. They could have had more. You're right. Then they get the solo homer from J.D. Martinez to go up 3-0. They are up 3-0 against the Oakland A's after winning last night, and it felt like getting their first real win of the season. And when I say real win, I mean, it was a tight game going into the late innings, and it was the first time to me all year that it actually felt like a ball game and they didn't just pull one out of their tailbone. Like, it felt like an actual baseball game, and that there was some decision-making and some clutch at bats and all of that. Even if they did catch a break from Oakland in the middle innings when Jurickson and Profar made a major error that led to a two-run rally that tied the game at three. Last night felt like a real game. Then they're up 3-0, a couple of innings into the game, and Eduardo Rodriguez goes out there and absolutely throws up on himself. 3 3 on a 3-run homer after falling behind Piscotty 2-0. He was 2-2 on the previous batter, walked him to put two men on and bring the tying run to the plate. All of that, you sort of weigh it out and say, oh, man, and then Eduardo Rodriguez gives up three more in the fourth, and the killer on that, 4-3, two outs, 2-1, a ball hit into right center field, out by the warning track, between Willie Mays and Roberto Clemente, the two Gold Glove outfielders out there. They miscommunicate, the ball bounces off the track into the crowd, and the A's go up 6-3. They add another run now, up 7-3. The Red Sox are just retired in the top of the seventh. And so there you go. You've now got two innings left to hit. And one of them's going to go to Blake Treinen, the old Oakland closer. So it looks like the Red Sox are cutting themselves off at the knees again out there in Oakland this afternoon. So let's open up the phone lines. Do you have any questions or thoughts on the Red Sox concerning their start to the season? Because they're about to drop to 2-6. By all means, we'll take them. 617-779-0985. As for last night, here is the thing that stuck out to me more than anything else was, if you go back to Saturday in Seattle, and Murray, you saw the game. Are you anti-Blake Swihart or pro-Blake Swihart? You're anti.
Yeah, kind of anti. You know, it feels like to me, I mean, based on the history when he's tried to play catcher, like he's just, he ain't made for it. I think they should try him as a utility guy. That seems to be his best bet at this point. But him being forced, and this feels like a force to me as one of the catchers that made this ball club, is like them trying to right a wrong. Kind of like that deal for Chris Sale going into the season, is trying to right a wrong when it came to them losing out or missing out and screwing up everything they did years ago with, why am I drawing a blank right now, with John Lester. And with Blake Swihart, I don't know, when Farrell was here, he got him hurt playing him in left field. They kept screwing it up. He came up as a catcher. He had a lot of upside, especially at the plate. So let's try to give it a chance. I don't know. The pitchers are comfortable with Sandy Leone. I know you hate this excuse, but the numbers back that up from last year. I think Leone should be here, and Swihart should just be a utility guy.
Okay, so, Murray, look, there are a lot of Red Sox fans that feel exactly as you do. Okay, that love Sandy Leone, which, honestly, I don't get. We had another guy call today railing on about Sandy Leone, and honestly, I don't get it. You talk about Sandy Leone like he's Johnny freaking Bench, and I don't mean you, Murray. I mean Red Sox fans. You talk about Sandy Leone like he's Johnny freaking Bench. And then Saturday, Swihart makes his first start of the season at catcher. Eduardo Rodriguez throws up on himself in that game, too, giving up a back-breaking three-run home run to Jay Bruce in what was otherwise a tight game. And you know what happened after the game? The pitching coach, Dana Lavangi, and the manager were frustrated that the Red Sox didn't follow the game plan. And Lavangi, whom I've known a long time, okay, Dana really is a great story. A guy who came up as a bullpen catcher and then a scout and then became part of the coaching staff and ultimately a pitching coach in the big leagues. That's a big job. And he deserved it. He earned it. And I think the world of the guy. But when he throws Blake Swihart under the bus after that game on Saturday, I get annoyed because as if to say it's somehow Blake Swihart's fault that Eduardo Rodriguez is a knucklehead and can't decide what pitch he wants to throw. Like, that's Swihart's fault. Well, Eduardo Rodriguez today worked with Christian Vasquez, and he blew a 3-0 lead. So clearly, Blake Swihart wasn't the problem. Then last night, Swihart's in the starting lineup, left-handed, batting left-handed because the A's were a right-handed starter, and Marco Estrada, and Swihart's good from the left side. 3-for-4, home run, started the decisive rally with a single. All of that, and I didn't hear anything this morning or late last night about Blake Swihart's ability to handle pitchers or anything of the like. Huh. Funny how that happens. When the Red Sox actually take a chance on a young guy, give him playing time, and he produces, all of a sudden nobody's bitching about the game calling. And nobody's bitching about it today when Eduardo Rodriguez goes out there with Christian Vasquez and does the same thing that he did on Saturday. I don't hear a peep from anybody then. From all the people that want to blame Blake Swihart. And I admit, I like Swihart as a player. I feel the Red Sox screwed him up. So it would be nice. Can we find out now whether the kid can play? Please, can we find out? 3-for-4 last night. You know how many games last year the Red Sox got 3 hits from their catcher? You know how many? 2. 2. Once from Vasquez, once from Leone. Neither one of them did it again. Swihart's a week into the year, and he's already done it. Now, I'm a believer in defense and catcher. I think it's a big thing. Huge. But they have a guy on their roster in Vasquez that is a catch-and-throw guy. So does the backup have to be the same thing? I mean, typically what major league teams do when they build a roster, your first catcher is your better offensive guy. And then your backup is your defensive guy. That's what most teams try to do. The Red Sox didn't because they didn't have anybody who could hit. So now they have an option, a kid who might actually be able to give them offense at the position. And who last year in the second half made strides. Was throwing the ball exceptionally well, even if he did chuck one into center field last night. And who, in terms of his overall, for example, blocking pitches in the dirt, also got a hell of a lot better at it. So they finally have someone who might be able to give them a little bit of both instead of just tilting it one way or the other. And you bitch about the fact that he's back there and blame him when Eduardo Rodriguez has been the same guy really for how many years? How many years? Oh, God, it drives me bananas. So, Swihart's 3-for-4, nobody's bitching about the game calling today. How come nobody's bitching about Christian Vasquez's game calling? 617-779-0985. We kick it off today with Jared in Westwood. Good, Jared.
Hey, Tony, I agree with you. I disagree with Big Jim there. I don't see why we can't give Swihart a chance. I liked him even 2 years ago, and they pay these pitchers hundreds of millions of dollars to be excellent pitchers, and we're blaming the kid on a game-calling decision. It's crap. I want to see Swihart more.
So, look, I just, you know, at the end of the day, the pitcher's the one that has the ball. Okay, the catcher can put down whatever fingers he wants to put down there. If the pitcher doesn't believe in the pitch, it isn't going to matter. And if the pitcher doesn't want to throw it, well, then get on the same page with the catcher. Tell him what you want to do in certain situations, then that's that. Last week in the game on Saturday, when Eduardo Rodriguez threw up on himself, the next day, Dennis Eckersley and Dave O'Brien were talking about it, and Eckersley said, you know, Rodriguez really is the kind of guy that needs to be led by the hand. The catcher has to take charge. Fine. So clearly the message got through to him, too, that they don't think Swihart takes command of the game behind the plate. They might be right. What happened today? Are they saying the same thing about Christian Vasquez? That he didn't take Rodriguez by the hand? He didn't take charge of the game? Because Rodriguez had a 3-0 lead today going into the bottom of the third. 3-0. He walked the guy to put in the tying run to the plate and then gave up a home run to tie the score. And then the next inning, even though the game was tied, got himself into trouble again. So how come people don't blame the catcher today? Look, I'm not in the business of defending Blake Swihart, but philosophically, I believe that the Red Sox have a good mix of catcher right now that can work. A right-handed hitting defensive-oriented catcher and a left-handed hitting catcher who's a little bit more offensive-oriented. Can we see how it works? Instead of blaming the catcher for every mistake that the pitcher makes? I mean, that's just asinine. To a man, their starting pitching has sucked. And we're going to blame the catchers? Especially when you have veteran guys on this staff, Sale, Porcello, Price, And who am I forgetting? Eovaldi? All these guys have been around. They need the catcher to hold their hand on the mound? Blame the pitchers when the pitchers pitch bad. When the catchers catch poorly, you can blame them. But if the pitchers are getting smacked around, don't blame the catchers all the time. Oh, God, I hate that. We'll get back to last night's game and a break that the Red Sox caught, too, and it was a huge one. Make no mistake, we'll do that.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Mazzarotti, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We played well yesterday. I mean, saying we're getting close. We're getting close. It started with David throwing 6 innings, and then Chris followed him. Nate, although he struggled with command, gave us 5. And when we pitch, we have a chance to win the game, and we've been doing that the last 3 days.
It's Alex Cora last night after the victory. And again, if you felt better about it this morning when you woke up, because I don't know how many of you are staying up for the games. I've said this over and over again. I don't blame you either. West Coast games, especially start the year, they're tough. The fans are tough. The players, no excuses. This is life in the big leagues. You play spring training. You go out west to start the year. It's a little bit of a tough draw. And the one thing I will say is 11 games in 11 days to start the season. I think, did I read the other day, that is the longest road trip that any major league team is going to be asked to make this year?
I haven't seen that, but I wouldn't be surprised.
I think that's right. Like, it's the longest road, consecutive road stretch that any team has this year is 11 games in 11 days on the road. So the Red Sox are, you could argue, literally are starting with the hardest road trip in the major leagues this year out of the gate. So what? So what? World champs, 108 wins, 11 more in the postseason.
Yeah, bullpen's a hair different, but they're essentially returning the same team. There's no excuse for them to be this bad to start the year.
And you've known it was coming. The schedule came out last August. So it's not like they announced the schedule the week to go in spring training, and you're like, what?
It's not like they took a trip to Japan like the two teams they faced to start this year, who obviously didn't affect them too much.
So they weren't ready. Clearly, they were a little lax with the starting pitching to the point where they said, well, we may not be great out of the gate. But I guarantee you they weren't expecting 1-5 and 2-6, which is where they're headed. 2 outs now in the top of the 8th, Red Sox trailing 7-3. They had a 3-0 lead, and Eduardo Rodriguez threw up on himself. Okay, so they're on their way to 2-6, which means they're going to come home with a losing record. Blake Trinan's going to get in this game, and he's a devastating closer for Oakland. Although he crapped his pants last year in the playoffs, he's not perfect. But nonetheless, in all probability, you're going to lose this game. So you're going to come home with a losing record. There's no way the Red Sox anticipated that, and they anticipated this start. No way. When they put together their pitching program for the spring, they were a little too lax. And Peter Abraham, Alex Cora said the other day that the Red Sox have done the same program they did a year ago. Peter Abraham of the Globe and some other people have pointed out, not exactly true. They had one fewer start this year than they did a year ago. So the first start of the year, the first trip through, was really extended spring. And I guarantee you the Red Sox did not expect to go 1-4 in those five games through. They thought, worst case, 2-3, but we'll probably go 3-2. We're playing Seattle and we're that good. So they misjudged it. And I don't think the season is done or anything of the like. But the starting pitching was not good the first time through, especially. Eduardo Rodriguez has been bad now two times in a row. Which brings me to Steve, who's in a car. Steve, what do you got?
Yeah, Tony, I think the thing that you mentioned earlier was the fact that we sort of know what Eduardo Rodriguez is at this point. And the thing that's frustrating for me, and the question I have is, how much longer of a leash are we going to give this guy? Because every year it's, all right, well, we just have to wait for him to figure it out. He's got that great changeup. You know, he's got the velocity on the fastball. So we just have to wait for him to figure it out. And he can't. He can't. He can't finish hitters.
Steve, do you think he figured it out last year at all? He went 13-5, I think it was, with a 3.82 ERA.
I think he had maybe started to figure it out, but you still saw it from him there because he couldn't get through six innings.
Okay,
he had no ability to get through those starts.
Okay, so but when you say, you know, how much more do we give him? How many chances do we give him? Do you want to stick him in the bullpen now?
I mean, I guess what my question to you, Tony, is what do you think is the next step with him if he really can't get to a place where he's able to be economical when it starts?
Okay, so he has started especially bad. I mean, of the, you know, the five guys in the rotation, he's the only one right now with two absolute stinkers. Two absolute freaking stink bombs out of the gate by Eduardo Rodriguez. Now, that said, would I do something? No, I understand your question. I'm just trying to facilitate the dialogue. Okay, I'm trying to facilitate the dialogue. Even if it sounds like I'm angry, I'm not. It's, you know, sometimes I just come off that way. So, where are you going to go? Like, who's the next guy? Velasquez? What are you accomplishing there? Like, Hector Velasquez is fine in the role he's in, which is spot starter / long emergency man, but I don't think he's a regular big league pitcher. They don't have anyone in the minors.
No, the only other guy that you could...
Brian Johnson, maybe?
Maybe, yeah. But that feels like that.
Is there anyone else that you were going to say?
No, Brian Johnson and then, well, Stephen Wright, but he got popped for PEDs, so it's not like you can use him.
If Stephen Wright were here, I might be inclined to say, you know what, flip the roles.
Yeah.
Give him one more, flip the roles. I'm not going to pull him after two starts. That's too fast. So this is where Stephen Wright has hurt them now already.
Yeah.
By being a knucklehead, he's out for 80 games. They don't have the option. That's their starting depth. So they don't have any latitude there. But like
Rodriguez is frustrating, though.
He is. No. That's all legit. That's all 100% legitimate. He's incredibly frustrating. Yes, I'm just not ready to pull the plug on him yet.
And he obviously pisses Cora off. He's been very outspoken about him. He was in the playoffs last year, and we were on the air, obviously, during this game as it's been going on. But before he gave up the 3-run home run, if you go to Boston Sports Info on Twitter, literally before he served up that pitch that was a 3-run home run, you see Cora in the dugout, the camera panned over there, and he's telling him, like, slow down. So maybe his delivery was too fast. He was just out of whack. And, you know, next pitch, there it goes, and the game is tied at 3.
Well, and you know what? Cora is getting sensitive to the idea, too, clearly, that he is critical of Rodriguez and harder on Rodriguez than he is on other guys. Because he was asked about this in the last day or so. I think I read it in the Herald this morning. And his comments were, yeah, I'm hard on him, but I believe in Eddie. You know, he made strides last year. It felt to me like he was
dialing it back a little bit.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely, Murray. He was walking it back a little bit.
Well, because it's been so damn obvious that he frustrates the hell out of him.
No question.
Rightfully so.
Yeah, no question. And so I just think that, you know, in retrospect, Now we know why Eduardo Rodriguez was given up on by the Baltimore Orioles. Good arm, good stuff, can't think his way through the game. Can't do it. So this is why X said what he said on Saturday, that they're going to blame Swihart for the game, you know, that it's, that Eduardo Rodriguez needs someone to lead him through the game. He needs someone to lead him through the game. Well, Christian Vasquez was back there today and it didn't work. So at what point is it just really the pitcher's responsibility to pitch well? So to me,
no, I understand where you're coming from. And I'm not, you know, I'm not sitting here banging the table like it's got to be Leon. Like, for, I just don't see what the harm is in bringing him back up and sending another reliever back down just to switch it, just to get some of these guys comfortable, because they are babies and it's ultimately on them. That part I agree with. But you also know, having covered the game as long as you did, how comfort is so paramount to their success in this game, maybe more than anything else. So if that's an issue for some of them, maybe price, maybe sale, then just bring them back up.
So look, and I'll even grant you that part of it, Murray. If you say the comfort thing is the factor. Up until last night, Swihart had caught one game. One.
Yeah.
The others were all Vasquez, and they still lost. In fact, they're 1-1 with Swihart behind the plate. Given what the record is, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not trying to be a wise ass, but I look at it and say that, you know, I'm okay with that part of the equation. The second catcher right now, they're doing fine there. That's not what the issue is. And so as far as Eduardo Rodriguez goes, this is now two bad ones to start the year. Cora lost patience with him in spring training, for crying out loud, saying they wanted him to see him take a step in the right direction. And the more I think about it, I think that all of this is related. All of it is related as to why Cora's level of frustration is so high with Eduardo Rodriguez. I'll tell you why I think that is after Murray gets you caught up on headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The baseball. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
How about Steve Pierce?
This is why the Red Sox love Steve Pierce.
The MVP of the series, plus 2,200. Steve Pierce is my long shot pick.
Steve Pierce, it's my pleasure to present to you the Willie Mays World Series Most Valuable Player Trophy.
This is the DraftKings Fantasy Pick of the Night with Maz.
Okay, the DraftKings Fantasy Pick of the Night brought to you by DraftKings. Play free fantasy baseball this season with the promo code BOSTON when you make your first deposit on DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy baseball. That's code BOSTON. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. So we're going to be doing this every Thursday night. Okay, if you remember last year during the World Series, I thought Steve Pierce was a good bet to win MVP. I just like the matchup. And honestly, this is part of the game. Part of baseball that I really enjoy is the matchup part of it. I do play on DraftKings, just so you know. And so one of the challenges when you play fantasy baseball is to find the good bargain guy in a good matchup that can help, you know, that you can fit into your roster for a relatively modest cost. So, for example, tonight, not many games to pick from. One of them is the Braves and the Cubs. Nick Markakis for $3,500 against Yu Darvish in the Braves-Cubs game. Markakis, left-handed hitter, had an OPS of over 800 against right-handed pitching last year. Some of the other options in that game, Albert Elmora, Ender Inciarte, one with the Cubs, one with the Braves. Markakis is a little cheaper and kills right-handed pitching. Okay, so you save yourself a couple of bucks, get yourself a good player in there. 617-779-0985. We'll continue with your calls. We cannot play highlights or commentary from today's Red Sox game until the game is over. They're down 7-3 going into the ninth. So I don't even know if the A's are going to bring in Blake Treinen because it's a non-save situation. The Red Sox are down 4. Cam is in New Hampshire. Cam, go ahead.
Hey, Maz, you were talking about how Eckersley didn't say anything about Vasquez's pitch calling today.
Yeah.
On that inning where Rodriguez gave up the three-run homer. I believe it was Mark Canna who had a double off him two batters before the home run.
Okay.
Eckersley did say, why keep throwing him inside? He threw him like three times inside, three times in a row, and he just crushed the third time for a double down the line. And I just wanted to make a comment. Eckersley did say something. It wasn't direct about Vasquez. You're right about that. But he did make a comment about the pitch calling.
Okay, so, Cam, before you go, first of all, thank you, because, again, I'm on the air during the game. So, I it's not like I can see what's going on, and even then, only in, I got to look up every so often. But we don't have the audio up, so I can't hear anything that is said during the game. So I appreciate you saying that. And I'm glad, and I'm glad to hear that Eck is, calling it game to game like you should be calling it game to game. You personally, how do you feel about the catching situation? And how much stock do you put in the catcher's ability to affect what the pitcher's doing out there?
I put a lot of stock in pitch calling and defensive play from catchers. I like Vasquez. I think he's a stud defensively. It hurts not to have any offense at that position. And I get wanting to get Swire. I want them both playing. Honestly, it's tough because neither one of them are consistent offensively, and that's the hard part.
Yeah, to me, and thanks for the call. I appreciate the information as well. To me, ideally, you want it set up the way the Red Sox have it right now. This is the better match. Leon and Vasquez as a tandem are not a great fit because neither one of them can hit. Not really. I mean, Vasquez had a good year a couple of years ago, but last year the numbers weren't good. Ideally, you want one catcher who's a little better offensively and one catcher who's better defensively. And ideally, you want one from the left side, one from the right. What the Red Sox have now, to me, if this can work, the fact that they're both young, relatively, is even better. That's perfect. Think of it. If you're behind in the late innings and Vasquez's spot is coming up against a right-handed pitcher, well, then you hit Swihart. And it's one for one. You don't have to hit Mitch Moreland and then put Swihart in the game and burn two guys for one pinch hitter. It's better to have one guy from each side, one with one strength and one. They complement each other much better than Vasquez and Leon do. Now, with Vasquez and Leon, you obviously have more consistent defense. And with the kind of lineup that the Red Sox have, you might be able to give up a little bit of offense. But also, let's not forget, last year, and Murray, you remember, and so does Jimmy Stewart. Last year, there were times when the bottom third of the order was a black hole. I mean, it was a problem.
Oh, definitely.
They weren't getting any offense there. And so Mookie Betts got all these hits and all these home runs and all these extra base hits, but he didn't knock in any runs because there was never anybody on base. So, it's not a horrible thing to have a catcher that can hit, particularly if he can hit in the bottom third of the order on a team like this. If he can hit in the middle third, even better. But let's say he hits in the bottom third and he hits seventh or eighth. Well, now you're going to get more at-bats out of Mookie Betts with men on base. And then if you get to the late innings and you have the lead and you want to sub in Vasquez, you can do that. There's much more flexibility if you have all types of things coming out of that catcher position. So last year they were able to afford it. They had good pitchers. They had a lineup 1-6 that was damn good. And so they could get away with it. But the reality is that, ultimately you want balance at every position. And the fact that Swihart can give you some offense, why is that a bad thing? It cracks me up. The Red Sox have played 8 games. Swihart has started 2 of them. They're 1-1. And the games Vasquez has caught, they're 1-5. And I'm not blaming Vasquez. The pitching is pretty much sucked in every game. Save for one, and that was Sale's second start, the opener of this series a couple of days ago. Otherwise, the pitching has really sucked across the board in the starting rotation. And that's Blake Swihart's fault? Or the fact that Sandy Leon isn't here? Like they were bad last year when Vasquez caught? I mean, that to me is just completely, utterly asinine. I don't get that part of it. I'd like to see how this goes with Swihart in the early part of the year. Swihart was a promising player. He was a first-round pick with athleticism that they liked. There were a lot of things there that you would like about Blake Swihart. Okay? As for what's going on in Oakland right now, let me just say the Red Sox are down 7-3 in the ninth. Mookie Betts led off with a walk. Andrew Benintendi then blooped a single into center. Murray, let me ask you a question. In terms of baseball 101, okay? Baseball 101.
Yes, Matt.
If you are down four runs, okay? Four runs in the ninth inning, and you're on first base, and a guy bloops a hit into center field, do you try to go to third?
I do not, especially seeing as short into center field that ball was blooped into.
Okay, and who went into play center field for the A's in the late innings today? And I don't expect you to remember his name. Ramon Laureano.
Yeah, the kid with the cannon.
So Mookie Betts went to third and was called out. I think they're going to review the play, and he might be safe. Okay, he might be. But chalk this up to another stupid decision made by the Red Sox. There is no today, and earlier in the game, Mookie Betts and Jackie Bradley miscommunicated on a fly ball in right center field that fell in with two outs and produced two runs that turned a 4-3 game into a 6-3 game.
A clumsy slide, too, head first.
So Betts went in head first here at third base with nobody out in the ninth inning, down four runs. The play is being reviewed. We'll see whether he was safe or whether he was out. It's going to be close.
And, hey, it could pay off, and maybe they'll end up calling him safe. But considering what Laureano's done to them defensively in this series, why do you do that?
Stupid. Because you're stupid.
It's so stupid.
So, again, and Mookie Betts is a good base runner. He made a great base running play last night, if you remember. Fabulous. He's a good base runner. But this play here, Mookie's not a stupid player. This was a stupid play. He was called out on the field. Unless there's conclusive evidence, he will be out and go right back to the dugout.
As Adam Jones points out on Twitter, at least it wasn't Bogarts.
Yeah, fair.
Well, so that's true. Yeah, Bogarts was thrown out the other two times by Laureano. Tom is in Florida. Tom, what do you got? Tom, you there? Oh, he hung up. It said probably just as well. Okay, the umpires are about to take their headsets off. Mookie Betts is out at third base. And again, what is, without question, a boneheaded base-running decision. Boneheaded. So, for all the things that the Red Sox have done poorly here in the first few games of the regular season, should we count the ways? The starting pitching has been horrid. The defense hasn't been good. And they have now had guys thrown out in how many of the games in this series? Xander Bogaerts is thrown out at home. That one, I think, was with two outs. And honestly, I think on that one, he was safe. Then Bogaerts was thrown out in the late innings the other night of a 1-0 game, trying to go from second to third. Today, this is worse. This is worse. Man on first. Nobody out in the ninth. You're down four. Benintendi hits a blooper into center field, and Mookie Betts decides that he's going to go to third. For no reason, because his run means nothing. And Ramon Laureano, who has been gunning down Red Sox in this series the whole week, Ramon Laureano picks it up and throws Betts out at third base. So, stupidity, also a factor for the Red Sox in this series. One of the sins that they have committed. So aside from having the worst record in the game thus far, worst starting pitching in the game thus far, the Red Sox are also the most stupid team in baseball here in the early part of the year. I'm sorry, I just get agitated when I see bad baseball like that. That one sends me over the edge. We'll give you the big Y, what should have been the big Y matchup of the day when we come back and wrap it up with your calls.
Baseball Reporters with Tony Mazz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporter's Tony Mazzara, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Big Y matchup of the game presented by Big Y World Class Market. Big Y serving the Metro West community for over 80 years. Typically, we do this before the game. makes more sense that way. So I was going to tell you, Steve Pierce against a left-handed pitcher, even though he had no history with Brett Anderson, that was going to be the way to go. Pierce actually, I think, had a single in this game, got thrown out trying to stretch it to a double. As it turned out, the matchup of the game, really, and the score is now final, by the way, out in Oakland. The Red Sox have lost 7-3 to the Oakland A's. They dropped 3-4 to Oakland in the series, just as they dropped 3-4 to the Seattle Mariners. They are now 2-6, heading into a three-game series with the Arizona Diamondbacks before returning here to Fenway Park to reopen the ballpark for the 2019 season. They will open on Tuesday at home. Who do they play Tuesday? Toronto? Is it the Blue Jays in the home opener?
Yeah, Blue Jays.
Yeah, I think it's the Toronto Blue Jays. Yeah. So the Red Sox will be here. They'll fly home Sunday night from Arizona, and they'll be here on Tuesday to open up the 2019 home schedule. But again, 7-3 is your final. And the matchup of the day, or the matchup of the game, if that's what you want to say, really ended up being Steven Piscotty. Okay, Piscotty went in it today, 1-for-2 with a home run against Eduardo Rodriguez. He faced him twice. He got two hits, including a game-tying three-run home run that was a critical blow in the game.
2-0. High fly, center field. Bradley back on the track, turning around now, leaping. It's gone. Piscotty with a three-run homer.
I'm telling you. Got behind him 2-0. And these guys are wearing out. Home runs hit the dead central. I mean, I don't know how many that is now.
Okay, so Piscotty hits a home run, ties the game at 3. And the real damage came in the next inning, which I'll get to in 1 minute. But our producer, Jimmy Stewart, sent these numbers a little while ago, and naturally now I've X'd out of them and I don't have them up anymore because I'm an idiot. So Jimmy Stewart sent these through 8 games so far. Red Sox starters this year?
Oh, it's the numbers are atrocious.
35 2/3 innings. 48 hits in 35 2/3. 36 earned runs. That's better than a run an inning. 22 walks, which you should find every bit as alarming as every other number on this list. 22 walks in 35 2/3. I mean, off the top of my head, quickly, what's that? 6.5 walks per 9 innings? Something like that? 6 walks a game? That's outrageous. That's insanely high. So aside from the fact that they're getting hit, they're putting guys on. They're throwing like a bunch of wuss bags. And in the 8 games, 14 home runs. And correct me if I'm not mistaken, Red Sox starters have allowed at least one home run in every game.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't think there's a starter who has pitched without giving up a home run yet.
No, you're correct.
Eovaldi gave up another one last night.
Yep.
Sale gave up one to lose the game. Price gave up 3 of them in the first game.
Correct.
And they gave up a home run in every game in Seattle. So they've allowed a home run in all 8 games. 14 of them total. Just so you know. These are the facts. Don't accuse me of being negative. I'm just giving you the facts.
Do that math for me there, if you would there, Mr. Tufts.
14 home runs in 8 games?
Yeah, well, what's that over 162?
Multiply it by 20. 280 plus.
What's the record? Didn't the Reds set it a few years ago? Is it like the most home runs given up in a season? I think.
That would blow it out of the water.
Yeah. that's going to be something absurd.
Yeah, that would blow it out of the water. So it's, you know, again, you're looking at 285 home runs. I mean, it's an absurd number. And obviously they won't do that, but just to give you some indication as to how badly they are truly pitching. Nonetheless, despite all that, it was a 3-3 game going into the fourth, Murray?
Yes.
Fourth inning.
Yep.
And then the A's actually increased it to 4-3. 2 outs, 2 men on, routine fly ball, albeit a deep one, but routine, that should have come down like a can of corn in right center field. Instead, this happened.
High fly, twisting into right center, pretty well hit. Back in, who's going to take it? Betts and Bradley looking at each other. Neither one of them made the play. You're talking about two gold glovers out there. Falls in, two-run score.
I thought Jackie was just sort of, he's there. You know how he casually goes about getting it. I said, well, I think he's got it. And then all of a sudden, he looked over at Mookie. Mookie looked over to him, and the ball hit the track.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. Couple of gold glovers out there. You know, get yourself Willie Mays and Roberto Clemente in center and right field. So let the ball drop between them. By the way, I said this earlier today. How's Jackie Bradley's new swing looking? Pretty good?
Oh, yeah.
Looks pretty good, right?
Not great, Mike.
Buck 94? 194 for Jackie Bradley here in the early part of the year. But at least you're getting the Gold Glove defense. Oh, that's right. Jeez,
communication an issue.
Kind of a problem.
I blame Swihart.
So you know what the worst part about that play is? It's a double. There's no error on that play because nobody touched the ball. I personally am going to start a petition. I used to do some official scoring over at Fenway Park. I'm going to start a petition. This might be a job I do in my retirement, now that I think of it, Murray. After I'm done here and fired from radio, and that day's coming eventually. Who knows when, but it's coming. I'll be out there, and maybe I'll just take on the job of official scorer at Fenway Park from time to time. Be a good thing to do in my old age. Give me something to do. Go to the ballpark, get yelled at by fans. Still, it's perfect. It's like right up my alley. Everything I've done all my life, get yelled at by Red Sox fans. I am going to make it a mission of mine to give errors on plays like that. I don't give a rat's ass that nobody touched it. This is the big leagues. The center fielder's got to take charge.
Yeah, that's
your error.
That's a crock that gets ruled as a hit.
Okay, well, you know, technically nobody touches the ball. It's not a physical. I don't care if it's a physical error. It's a brain lock. It's a mistake. It's way more inexcusable than a guy like, you know, charging in at a ball that hits off a heel of his glove and then bounces to the right and a guy takes an extra base.
Yeah, that's
way more inexcusable.
That's more freaky than these two staring at each other like a couple of morons.
Unbelievable. Really unbelievable. And then Mookie got thrown out trying to go to third, down four with nobody out in the ninth, on a blooper to center field. Genius. Oh, boy, they're playing great. They look like the world champs. I say we postpone the banner raising until after they get their heads out of their asses. That would be a good thing. In any case, Adam Jones coming up here. You have a short show tonight, too, so I should
yes.
Shut up.
Oh, no, you don't have to shut up. It's fine.
Okay, so what are you going to do? Quickly, I give you 10 seconds.
Well, the Red Sox should be 0-8. Jackie Bradley sucks. The starting pitching sucks. The Red Sox in general suck. We'll begin with that.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.